Hi, this is Phoebe Blamey, and welcome to the Happy Money Journey podcast for today. I'm really excited to have you here. I have spent most of my life working in financial services. I'm a qualified financial planner and I have my own mortgage broking business since 2006. I know that as a busy woman, it's really hard to get your life into some sort of shape. And so I'm here to help you on your own happy money journey. And welcome to this week's podcast. I am so pleased to be here. This week I wanted to talk about business strategy and creating your business strategy and understanding what your business strategy is. Because sometimes when we start a business, we get to start based on instinct and we don't put a lot into writing. So business plans can be long, drawn out documents that really in the end don't actually serve us that well because they don't adapt to external environment, they don't adapt to the things that we're learning and growing. Strategy works slightly differently in that having an overall strategy for where you're going can really help you with a direction. Can then, under that, you can set your goals and determine what you want your outcomes to be. You can also pace out what you want to do over time. And to that end, I wanted to look at your business through the eyes of Hambrick and Fredrickson's strategy diamond. Now, the strategy diamond is just a way of looking at things. It's really simple. It talks about arenas, so where you want to operate. It talks about your differentiators, so the things that are different, your dynamic capabilities, the things that set you apart from your competitors. We talk about vehicles, so how you're going to get there, where you're going to show up. Are you going to be online? Are you going to be face-to-face? Are you a retail-based store? What vehicles are you going to use to get your product out into the world? At what stage and at what pace are you getting products out into the world as well? Because I think that's really important. And what the economic logic behind what you're doing is. So they're the five elements of the strategy diamond. And what we're going to do is use a real life example to get us into understanding how we can apply that strategy diamond to your business so that when you're looking at what you want to do, whether it be your side hustle, whether it be something you're doing every day, whether it be you as a manager in an organization, whatever it is, your personal strategy for yourself is where we want to get to. And also your strategy for your business. So these elements can be applied to both. Be a really good starting point for you getting to know what it is that you want to do and how you want to do it. Now, why am I focused on business, you might ask, because we've been previously focused on money. So let me start by saying I know that a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurial women or women that would like to become entrepreneurial, women over 50, greatest number of people who are starting businesses and outpacing men 3-1 on starting new businesses and starting small and micro businesses in Australia. So that's really exciting. And we dug deep into some of the reasons for that because I'm always curious about why someone is doing something. And one of the main reasons is just to have flexibility. As we get older, we have often dual roles of looking after children and elderly parents, even if it's just elderly parents or even if it's just children. It's a greater strain on us and we want more flexibility in our lives. Now, organizations often don't offer that. Certainly, they're great with maternity leave and the younger women, but as we get older, we start to lose some of those opportunities in corporate life and start looking for them external to corporate life, which is, I think, really exciting for us. So a lot of women that I know are starting side hustles. A lot of women my age are starting to do big career transformations. And when I ask them face to face what some of the reasons for that are, it's because they've still got that growth mindset, but they may be stuck in a career or stuck in a job that they're not very happy with. It may be because, and this is certainly my own experience, the level of experience we've gained over the years can really serve and it can really help our communities and our people. And we really want to get out there in the world and share what we've learned and share what and bring people into that sort of mindset of being able to grow and develop and share what we've learned. And we also want to make a contribution. And I think making a contribution as we get older starts to become something that we really value. Men, women, everyone across the world really does like to feel that we're contributing something to a purpose greater than ourselves. And that can be in starting our own business and just helping our own little corner of the world. So very interesting things to do. The other thing about strategy is going to help you drive your funding and help you drive getting people to invest in your business. It's also going to help you get clarity around what you need to invest in your business. It's going to help you understand the needs of your business and how your business is going to develop over years. And it's also, of course, going to help you set goals. But the other thing about strategy is quite dynamic. And you can do a real cost analysis of each strategy as you're moving forward. And looking at things from a real point of view, is this working? How can we improve this? Is this something we need to abandon? Is, to me, such a huge part of investing in your business, investing in yourself, and understanding where you're going and why you're going there. Strategy can be moved around. It can be re-looked at. It's shorter than a business plan. It's just like using a business model canvas or using something similar. It's just getting the overview, the big picture, the broad strokes out there so that you know where your business is going. So what I want to do now is ask Hannah to come in, and she's going to be my guinea pig. She's going to be my example of what we're doing as far as creating a strategy around her business. There we are. So we've got Hannah here now, and Hannah and I are going to talk about her business, which is a cafe. And Hannah, just start by telling us a little bit about your business.
Yeah, so I started in March 21. Mm-hmm. It was during the COVID time. The opportunity came up, and it was one that we thought was a bit too good to refuse. It's really good rent and known foot traffic. So we jumped in headfirst. Found out about the opportunity, and 3 weeks later we opened. And I think we've been a little bit scrambly since. We ran another business at the same time, which we sold later in that year. So we're just at a point now where we're ready to really get behind it and get some strategies going and expand and grow the business. We think we've dabbled a little bit, but it is just something that's pottering along rather than going at a good rate. But yeah, it's just a cafe in Daylesford. Yes, I don't know what else to say.
So where we want to start is cafe in Daylesford. And so when we look at the strategy diamond, the first thing we're going to look at is the arena. So where do you operate? Why do you operate there? So let's start with where are you and why?
Yep. So we're situated in Daylesford. We're actually the cafe within the Mill Markets. So that's a giant shed full of tiny individually owned stalls. And so we service sometimes 1,000 people who walk through the doors to 2,000 people over the weekends. So it's a varied market. We've got lots of local people who now know you can always find a park. Everywhere else it's hard to find parking. So we know we had people who would just come to us because they know definitely going to get a park and get in and get a seat because it's quite a large venue. So weekdays we get lots of locals and a few tourists here and there, but the weekends is like a completely different market.
Yeah.
Of, it sometimes feels like every Melburnian visiting a cafe with the queues. But yeah, so weekends it's about being really quick. Sometimes I feel like they expect us to be as quick as Maccas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's a very different market on weekends. They're there for speed to get back shopping. They're there just for a pit stop and fuel. So they want that convenience.
Yeah.
But they still want quality and that Melbourne experience.
Mm-hmm. And what products do you sell there?
We do all kinds of things. We do lots of house-made sweets,
mm-hmm.
which I think is quite rare now. For cafes. Mm-hmm. We do a few bought-in sweets. We do lots of our own things, like we make our own arancini and lasagnas and sausage rolls and things as well. We buy in pies. So it's always a bit of a balance between what we can physically produce in the time. But yeah, we do lots of toasties and eggs and all of the normal cafe things as well. We serve coffee. We serve non-alcoholic drinks. We don't have a liquor license at the moment. And yeah, so we do some catering as well, and we also have our own product line for produce. So we don't have our own jams and chutneys and relishes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's almost that people want to visit Daylesford and take something home that's mm-hmm. been made in Daylesford. So yeah, it's the Would You Like Fries with that little sale. When they have a sausage roll house-made, then they have the relish with it and end up taking a jar home.
So, nice.
Yeah.
So what's your differentiator from, aside from the parking, what's mm-hmm. your differentiator from for the other cafes that are in Daylesford?
I think it's the experience of being within the markets as mm-hmm. well. I think we're not just like a standalone cafe. We are really connected, and it's a real community of being within the markets. And I think our difference really is speed.
Mm-hmm.
Is we do have to have a lot of staff on, because sometimes a bus of 50, sometimes two buses of 50 each
yeah.
rock up, and you've got to be able to get through that queue quickly because they've got to get back on the bus. So mm-hmm. I think speed, and then, yeah, I think just quality as well. I think we've really gotten to know, people have really gotten to get to know us.
So. Is the produce something that's rare to you, or do a lot of places around you do that?
I think on our scale it's rare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people might do their own jam or something, mm-hmm. but we've got, I think, about 15 lines now.
That's a lot.
Mm.
So when so they're your differentiators. They're the things that set you apart, and they're the unique selling proposition, if you like, the reason that people come to you. So far in our strategy, we know that you're at the market, that you also have a line of produce, and that your differentiators are your speed, your produce line, and your being part of a community that's mm. larger than yourself in the markets, mm-hmm. but also parking. Now, if we talk about vehicles, we're talking about how you deliver your service or good to the community. So in your case, it's the shop. It's the
bricks and mortar.
Bricks and mortar. Yep. So talk me through that a little bit and why that became your strategy.
The opportunity came up where the rent was reasonably low, and it also included bills and things like that as well. The space was large. We were able to do what we wanted with the space as well. There's the decking, which can seat about 35 people. But, yeah, I think we haven't expanded into, like, delivery services or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Or any online sales. Would you see no. any of that sort of stuff in the future, or do you think that it's better just to be where you are?
I think initially, I think we still need to invest a bit more time and love into where we are. But, yeah, I don't see why there couldn't be room to expand and sell our produce online, or expand, even do hampers and such for all the Airbnbs in Daylesford. That kind of thing would be a really cool avenue to go down, and that could be an online ordering kind of system, drop-off scenario. But, yeah, I think there's definitely room.
So you see what's happening now as we go through the vehicles that Hannah's business is currently using. She's starting to think of other ideas, of other ways that she can get some of her products and services out into a wider community. And that happens naturally as you're going through your strategy. So using that as a vehicle, have you also thought of strategic alliances and setting up similar things in similar places in other country towns, or franchising your model, or doing anything like that?
We've always thought, so the Mill Markets, they did have two other venues, one in Ballarat and one in Geelong. They've recently, last year I think it was, closed the Ballarat one. But, yeah, and the cafe at the Geelong space is currently occupied. But it's always been something we'd be curious
mm-hmm.
to consider. And then maybe, yeah, if we can get this formula down pat, it is something that you could definitely pick up and put down in other large venues that needed this kind of service. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think of, particularly when it's a small business, the opportunity of things like franchising, because franchising is simply just putting a system behind what you're doing. And having worked with you in your operations manager for us role, I know how systemized you are, and I know how good you are. That's a real strength, and it's not one of my strengths, so it's something that I really value and see in others. And doing that sort of thing, again, expands your business, expands your reach, and can make things different, make things very different. So the next thing we're going to talk about is staging and pricing. And they might seem like two different things, but it's the same thing in some ways. So as you've brought in the produce, how did you do that, and how did you stage how, because you've now, you said you've got now 16 lines of produce.
Yeah,
so how did you determine to do that? What was your strategy behind that, and what will you do in the future?
We started off with just one jam and one relish, and the jam everyone had with the scones and kept asking. Mm. And we ended up putting them in little takeaway plastic containers and such. And we thought, there's demand here. Mm. Same with our relish. I think people eat the sausage rolls to eat the relish.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we just then kept growing and expanding. We do pickles and all of that. So at each menu, we end up coming up with a new produce line. And as we develop and introduce each menu, it's like a real feature that people look for.
So have you from there built basically a loyal customer base of people that want your produce?
I would say for the Daylesford locals, yes. Yep. Once they taste it and they know it. We've got lots of people who come back for the relish and the jam,
yep,
in particular. But, yeah, a lot of it too is people wanting to take something away as like a memento from their experience.
That's so good.
Mm.
And it's such an interesting way to look at things as well. Mm. Just let's start adding on, mm, and start doing different things.
Mm. And the idea too was to – for them to take something home or give as a gift, that when they open their fridge, it's the reminder of our logo,
yeah,
and that great experience. And each time they eat it, they're like, oh, I must go back there. That was so yum. So it's that taking the experience, not just for the cafe,
but yeah, at home. So giving them the opportunity to buy online or stocking other, mm, venues with that kind of thing, yeah, would be quite advantageous. Yeah.
And I've also thought
a future strategy.
Of wholesale too.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be pretty cool if we, mm, could produce at a rate.
Yeah.
At a larger portion. Mm.
Which you no doubt could do.
Mm, we've got a large kitchen. Mm.
There you go.
Food for thought.
Another arena, another vehicle to get you out there. Pricing, how did you come up with your prices?
I think that's been the biggest battle lately.
Yeah.
The cost of everything is just out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then wages went up 4.7% last July. Mm. I think we're really driven by the market,
mm-hmm,
which will only pay so much.
Yes.
Which for us, we've had to reconsider how we present things, how much goes on the plate, what products we're putting on the plate. Mm-hmm. We were doing, and we still are at the stage, but it's something we might have to consider dropping, is this beautiful French melting cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, I don't know if we can keep afford to put that on the plate, when is it valued as much from the customer? Whereas, mm-hmm, I love it.
Yeah.
But could it just be slightly cheaper cheese and no one know?
Yeah.
We'll be able to tell the difference.
Or do they come for that cheese?
Correct. Exactly. Which, yeah.
Or do they come and then they have that cheese and then they're like, oh.
Yeah. They don't know why it's so good.
Mm.
But, yeah, costing's, yeah, driven by the market. They'll only pay, yeah, so much. And I think it's just portion size and things like that.
Yeah.
Or we've really gone with training our staff to be able to do the add-on sales. So they,
yeah,
order, say, the sausage roll and it's then the extra $2 for relish and the extra, yeah, so-and-so for chips or salad.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's, yeah, interesting. And your economic logic in starting this business or continuing this business talk, this is our last part, mm, of the strategy, Diamond. And this is also often when you're developing your strategy and you're looking at things, it's the thing that matters the most. You want a business that makes money, yeah, but it's very hard to find that balance and find your balance between having enough staff, having quality ingredients, which we just, mm, talked about, and then making money from it. So what's your future plan for this business making money?
I think at the moment we're doing pretty well, but it's something that I think we definitely need to scale up, and we've got the potential to do. We've got some, touch wood, some really good staff at the moment, mm, and I think that would enable us to really grow. I think we've been unable to grow because we haven't had either skilled or enough, mm-hmm, staff. We've often had to have unskilled people, but two of them to be, yep, able to get the job done, which has just been really costly, mm-hmm, over that COVID period and such. So I feel like we're now ready to take the next step. And I think that will be from physical labor.
Yeah.
Being able to either produce more food or that kind of thing. But it's also, I think, I need to invest time in doing a website or,
mm,
writing a cookbook, as you've said before. Yeah.
So all those other vehicles,
yeah,
and now you've had the idea, you've had the spark of the produce being wholesale and all,
yeah,
those sort of things. So there's yet another thing that you can add to your,
yeah,
ever-increasing list of things that you can do.
Never-ending.
But we'll make money.
Yeah.
And would come with a certain, yeah, logic. So the way that we really look at economic logic is we look at, particularly for an existing business, we'll look at where you're at the moment and what money you're making, but also where you're spending.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start to see where we can cut back or see where improvements can be made. And one of the really good points that you just made there, Hannah, was around your staff and experience.
Mm.
And it's staff experience and staff training really make a difference to when you've got a staff heavy business like hospitality venues are, getting that experience and getting that stickiness of staff, I think is a really, that's been one of my battles over the years, because the job around the mortgage broking stuff that I was doing is a really boring job. And what I found is most people can stay in it for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And then you have to pick someone else up and retrain them and all that. Same stuff. So in your ongoing strategy, what are some of the things that you've thought about now that you perhaps haven't thought about before, or that you want to explore further from the conversation that we've just had?
I think definitely working out how to give myself enough time to work on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be hiring a manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think then it would enable me to work on the wholesale and how and what that looks like, mm-hmm. and get a better website and all of that kind of thing. Communicate with bus groups to know when they're coming, little things, but it all would really help the business, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
I think we're ready for me to step back to actually help grow it rather than be in it as much.
I think that's a really common theme that I hear from a lot of business owners, is that we've got lots of time to be in the business and we're doing all the busy, but we don't have a lot of time for strategy. So taking this 5 minutes or 10 minutes that we've just gone bang, 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 here are some things to think about. It's restful almost.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it takes inspiring. You out.
It gets you hungry again for it.
Yeah.
And
makes you see it differently.
Yeah.
Because you can start to spot opportunities you may not have spotted before.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you for your help with that. That was amazing.
Thank
you. So the thing I found most interesting about that, I think, was watching the transition between being in the business and being on the business, and working on the business and taking those moments to strategize, I think, was quite valuable. I certainly saw little lights going on around the produce, around the other things you could do. So if you take that approach with your own business and start looking at things not from the perspective of where you are, but as if you're having a conversation with someone else and you're explaining parts of your business, see what you discover and ask yourself those questions. So I'm going to put a worksheet, as I always do. I'm going to put a worksheet in the show notes. You can link to the worksheet and you can develop your own strategy diamond around your own side hustle business. Whatever you're doing at work, it will all work equally well for you. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a new thing to try. Hannah's our operations manager and has been an absolutely invaluable part of setting all this up and getting all this going. She's one of the most organized humans I've ever met, and she's running that business as well. So absolutely fantastic to have her be able to jump in and help us with that. So thank you again for joining us. Next week we've got the interview with Jules Brooks. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I will catch you very soon. Meanwhile, enjoy the journey. Disclaimer. Just a reminder that the advice that's contained in this podcast is general in nature. It doesn't take into account your individual needs and circumstances, and we recommend considering the appropriateness of any advice to your individual circumstances and needs. We always recommend seeking the advice of an expert before making any financial decisions.